Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
You said we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Where... Shut up,
cram
shut,
it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake!
I swear to God, I will go over...
You!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We just had our pre-show meeting and we were discussing the proper way to pronounce the word of the year. How do you say it?
Kofifi. The V is almost silent, I think. It's Kofifi.
Yeah. I mean, I liked that this morning when I first saw it on Twitter. I mean, I slept through the its launch, its creation. I was not awake for that.
It was a fabulous moment in social media, though.
I've seen the screen grabs.
Yeah, just the way it took off. And for anyone who is not following this, this was Donald Trump's tweet where it appeared he had like died or had a stroke or something mid-tweet, and that was it. It just happened late. It
right.
had the letters COVFEFE at the end, and then there was nothing, and it just hung there for hours and hours and hours.
And it was in reference to members of the press.
Yeah, it was like all this negative press.
Kafifi. So I'm going to go Kafifi and go with the V being silent.
Okay. Kafifi. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
Because V to F doesn't really work in my language skills palette.
Kofefe.
Right. See, I don't know.
Kafifi.
But it's evolved throughout the day because earlier this morning when I first saw it, it was kind of being used like... a combination of the way people talked about, like, I am Kaiser Soze, and the way that those, was it Eternity or Obsession? What was the perfume ad that was a whisper?
Oh, yeah.
Obsession.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
People were using it like that. In particular, Rachel Dratch had such a funny tweet, and it was this. It's 5:50 a.m., and his tweet is gone. The sun rises and we all walk home in our party clothes. Was it all just a dream? The wind whispered, Kofifi.
That's fantastic.
And it's just the stupid symbol that we all need right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was no point to it. It was whatever.
It's the stupidest thing. It's completely distracted us from all the other actual things.
The only thing about it that I actually thought was remarkable was that Twitter was... Absolutely. I mean, it was a brush fire on Twitter late, you know, around midnight our time when this was really starting to go crazy. But so is nobody in the administration like monitoring stuff at this hour? Like, because it was there until 5 a.m. or something like
that. So like if I'm a sworn enemy, which I am not, but if I was like a, you know, someone who was like, let's destroy the United States. I might strike between those hours because it tells me ain't nobody looking.
Right. They're,
you can
we'll
scale the fence. You can set something on fire. You can whatever you need to do. It seems like those are some dangerous hours because I pictured it like because I have done that. Like I've been typing an email and just like conked out. I didn't hit send. But, you know, there's, you know, you can see how that would happen.
Yeah, it was bizarre. The only thing I could imagine was that he rolled over in bed on top of his phone. It hit tweet. And nobody else can access his Twitter account unless they have his phone, and nobody wanted to go, you know.
Oh, no one knew where it was, and he was
laying
on
it. Yeah, it was like under his butt or something, and nobody wanted to. I suggested that somebody send SEAL Team 6 in for that. But
I have an alternate theory, though that is a good one, and mine has to do with Ambien.
Oh, and yeah. I saw somebody tweeting that.
Only because one time I gave my mom an Ambien during like a family crisis because I knew she wouldn't sleep otherwise. And it's like her prescription. I wasn't just like dosing her, but, you know. But she was like, can you hand me an Advil? And I'm like, yep. Whoop. Here, take that. And I just started handing her. And I was like, oh, it's an Ambien. I'm going to give her that so she could sleep. And she got a little wacky.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like seeing someone. There's, in fact, there's a whole Reddit thread for that you go to and post when you're on Ambien, and it's hilarious.
Really? Oh, that's hilarious.
Someone has made a Tumblr out of it, and I just recently found that, and it is hilarious because people just write the dumbest crap in the world.
Right, right.
But they know it. Like, you have to, it's like people are voluntarily like, okay, I'm going to take my Lunesta or Ambien or whatever. Get ready. Start typing.
Things are about to get wacky.
Yeah, about to get weird. So that's kind of my theory, that it was kind of a Lunesta or Ambien situation, and he just was like, thought he maybe typed something.
No, this negative.
Something else, and hit and like opened his eyes and hit send, and you know,
off we went. Well, of all the bad things that have happened, that was probably for sure the least bad,
and kind of my favorite.
Yeah, right, because it was a delightful respite. Although it was, again, it was, what was really funny was that, I mean, again, it's hard to measure the sheer hard to describe the sheer volume of people. I mean, it appeared that every human on Twitter was tweeting about it.
Went crazy.
I mean, it was just absolute insanity. You're talking to millions of people globally, and he's just like, you know, doesn't realize that the entire world was mocking him.
Right.
It was very funny.
So. I kind of had to imagine other, you know, like other leaders and former leaders just seeing that being like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can imagine Obama looking at his phone going, God damn it.
Yeah, right. Well, and again, I mean, it's look, this is meaningless. It was, you
it's
know,
totally meaningless.
Some people, even his supporters, tried to spin it as, well, it humanizes him. We all make mistakes. And okay, fine, I'll even give you that. But at the same time, this is not a tight ship. And that's
another symptom of that.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened under the Obama administration. I'm not saying that that makes Obama that much better, whatever, but just saying that it's a different way of running things.
Yeah.
And this administration is being run in an amazingly chaotic fashion. And it's that kind of thing that allows a ridiculous tweet like that to linger for, you know, 5, 6, or 7 hours or whatever it was. So.
And get out in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
Much less linger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, we're getting to this sort of, like, Keystone Cops sort of.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to picture half of it with, like, the Benny Hill theme song running around as people are just running circles around the White House. Because it's so ridiculous. And it does point to a very loosely run, you know, look, nobody loves winging it more than I do.
Sure.
But if I was the president,
I
wouldn't be winging it.
It's not a real fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants position to be in.
No.
And that's definitely what's happening. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and you could take away everything that Donald Trump has actually said or is doing or wants to do, and you could just read his Twitter, and it's impossible for me to understand how anybody would think that he is even remotely honest or competent. And I wrote a column today about, he sent several tweets 2 days ago talking about leaks and how leaks are fake news, and anything that says, you know, that uses anonymous sources is probably fabricated by the fake news media.
Sure.
And then 2 days later, he retweeted a Fox News story making Jared Kushner look not guilty of anything, and the whole story was hung on one anonymous source.
Right.
So I'm like, well, what is it?
Yeah, you know, that's pick one.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't see how any person can really look at that and say, well, and not, you know, do the doggy head to the side thing and say, what? You know, I mean, it just... And that's what gets so frustrating is that people are, I think, really people. I understand that people don't like the fact that he's being criticized all the time by, you know, some like me and us and whatever. I get that. But at the same time, to tell me that sort of thing doesn't trouble you somehow, or
right,
that you
would,
don't see the logical fallacy in what he's saying, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, even his most devoted supporter, I would love to know, how do you defend that?
Yeah, criticize me to the hilt if you want for whatever I write or say.
But, like, that's hypocritical.
Yeah, but at least acknowledge what's going on there, because that's just weird and it doesn't track. It just doesn't track at all.
Yeah.
It never does.
I mean, I've heard one very passionate Trump supporter in particular was kind of talking about, well, you know, he's... It was like, it reminded me of the way that, and I don't mean to make light of this because it's a serious thing, but it did remind me of the, like, oh, well, I didn't, you know, I made him mad. Like, it sounded very like abuser and victim kind of language. It was very like, oh, well, he's under so much pressure and he's, you know, and it was like, well, right, but don't you see that he's kind of incompetent and he's not really doing, I mean, do you like what he's doing on Twitter? Well, I mean, he's really stressed. I mean, it's their fault for giving him the phone. I mean, he shouldn't have it. And it was just like...
Yeah, that's pretty...
Like,
that's
making all these insane excuses for him. It's like, but if it's the person's fault for giving him the phone, then that means he is, in fact, an incompetent idiot. And it's the fault of the person giving him a phone, giving him the phone and Twitter access that is allowing that to be showcased.
Yeah.
That's super classic apologist, victim-y... brainwashy stuff going on right there.
And it also flies in the face of all the things that his supporters lauded him for.
Right. And this is but one person I was talking to.
Sure, but I hear that a lot. You're right, though. That's I hear that a lot as well. So, I mean, that's a... Right, so you're sort of defending him in that manner, which is also contradicting all of the things that you supposedly loved about him, that he's a straight shooter, that he says, tells it like it is, that he's tough, that he's brave, that he's all these things. And no, I mean, these, you know,
no,
this stuff,
brave is the last word in the world I would use to describe that man.
Right, and all of these things that fly in the face of that, you know?
Brave? Ugh, yeah. Please. Not even. Oh, boy. That's what's going to get you sent to journalist jail right there. Yeah. Like, it was all good. The people he has monitoring us, it was all good. Like, too far. He made the clucky little chicken noise. Hupke's out.
So that was a very, very bold-sounding chicken.
Sure it was. I would also like to talk about Portland and that situation, because that has made... a very confusing conversation. Not confusing to me, but I think like confusing because often when we're talking about race, we don't want to go deep because it makes people uncomfortable. Like I believe to have a productive conversation about race, you have to make yourself be willing to be uncomfortable and admit like, I can only speak to my experience.
Yeah, sure.
I can understand and believe and sympathize and empathize, but I can't totally understand anybody's experience but my own.
Right.
I have, in fact, been a white woman my whole life. That's all I can. That is the filter through which I see the world. So I think race conversations, like to have productive ones, we need to be okay with being vulnerable. However, comma, this situation. So what happened in Portland, there's this, now it has emerged, like this known white supremacy individual dude. Someone said leader. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think he was affiliated with any formally. I think he was just on board with that whole thing. Who was targeting these two Muslim women, and two white men stepped in to help them, the women, and ended up getting killed. A third one was assaulted, but is okay.
Injured. Yeah, I think pretty badly injured. But he's
but
he's gonna
okay.
live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stabbed all of them.
All of them. Mm-hmm. And what a terrible story. And somehow that the, like, two factors emerge that somehow it's like the usual narrative that we want to have when something racially motivated happens. Like, also, on pause on that, another story that happened was there was a college student who was killed, and the authorities believe that it, too, is racially motivated. The student was black. Mm-hmm. The suspect is white, and there's, you know, conversation going there about some ties perhaps through social media and IRL about some white supremacy sort of ties. So in that one, it's like the narrative that we normally have that's quite surface of like, well, he's a crazy person. He's this lunatic white supremacy dude. Therefore, he killed a black man. Mm-hmm. Then the narrative is complete. Like, that's surface, and that's what we... do. That's where we stop. We don't want to say, but why is he, what is he angry about? And, you know, we don't complete these cycles. We don't have these full conversations because we're not willing to look at the fact that acts of hatred and hate crimes and crap like that are reflecting on what we've built, like the whole social structure. It's built on that. And so, of course, we have people that are going to be so, you know, scared to death about feeling like, even if they can't articulate it, feeling like there's some kind of loss of privilege, that they get super pissed off about it and go act out. So until we have those kind of conversations and we're willing to be uncomfortable like that and admit things like, you know, I'm sure benefited from being a white woman in ways I will never totally understand. And I'm sure that I have. I don't totally know all those ways, and I might not ever, but nonetheless, I'm sure that I have, and whether I wanted to or not, like, that's just sort of the reality. There's credibility given in some ways that even if you don't want it, even if it's not fair, I think people, the world just is fucked up that way. Okay, so that said, when we go to Portland, people don't know what to do with it, because the white supremacy dude, like, someone jumped up and said, well, you know, looks like he was a Bernie supporter. So what are you going to do now? Like, everybody suddenly had to, oh, well, maybe he's not so. It's like, you can't hold a group of people responsible for the actions of one person. B, then it gets weird that, like, the people, the three injured and two killed, were white guys, mm-hmm. then that gets complicated. People don't know what to do with that. And it's like, I found myself being, and I realize I've turned this into a monologue, but I found myself being really disappointed with how surface the conversation, and it's always surface, and it's always frustrating in that way. But especially around Portland, I got really irritated by it because here was an opportunity to say, look, this doesn't fit this simple model. This wasn't like a white man killing a black man. This wasn't like this was a white supremacist. And had he done something to the women, it would have complete that like very usual common narrative. But because it changed, people don't know what to do with it. And that's, I'm like, dig deeper, dumbass. That's what you do with it. And no one's doing that. And that's literally driving me crazy. Literally.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's interesting. I honestly hadn't thought about it like that. And I think part of the problem, aside from, like you said, the usual fact that we don't tend to give it that deep a consideration anyway, is that it became hyper politicized right away,
right.
Just because of the moment we're in.
The Bernie part came
right.
up.
And the Bernie part, I sent out a tweet. Because it took Trump like 3 days before he commented on that.
Also that.
And then he commented on it only through the POTUS account, not through his personal right. Real Donald Trump account. And so, you know, that was weird because here's this guy who, if it's a Muslim that does something, he immediately, we got to.
Right. Bad dude.
Right. And when this happens, he didn't say anything. And these were, you know, one of the victims was a veteran. Mm-hmm. You know, the other was, sounds like just this amazing guy who died saying, like, tell everyone on the train I love
them
or something. Just, it's like heartbreaking. And what they did, I mean, my God, what a amazing thing they did. And what a great moment that is. If you're a president, you would think you would grab that and say, listen, this is what we're all about right here. We don't believe in hate. We, you know, this is what America is truly about. And that's certainly what I took from it. But anyway, but, you know, and I, you know, so I sent a tweet mocking one of Trump's tweets, basically saying, which was, you know, on some other completely ridiculous matter. And I said, oh, I think you misspelled, you know. Two honorable Americans were killed by, you know, like right. like what he should have tweeted.
Yeah.
And I got torched from all these idiots being like, well, he was a Bernie supporter. Did you know?
Blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter.
I'm not talking about, I'm talking about why didn't Trump, I don't care if he was, you know, an Obama or Clinton or, you know, Gary Johnson supporter, whatever. The president of the United States should have said something
right.
about this and, you know, no, and he didn't. So that, but anyway, but that put my, I'm digressing from your point, but the, that, I think, is what happened to it, is that it got so wrapped up in politics so quick that everybody just kind of got in their corners and started yelling, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, kind of looking at it in a different way. And because I haven't thought about it the way you're talking about it. I'm trying to think what the, I mean, to me, you know, the fact that that cycle, like you were describing, was interrupted by some good people. Who happened to be white, they could have been anything, is a positive step forward. I'm not exactly sure how that changes. In terms of a racial discussion, I don't know exactly how much that changes.
Well, it's that. Things. It's what you're saying, though. No, you're exactly right, because it got derailed quickly. Because immediately it wasn't like, oh, that white supremacist you're talking about, he's a Bernie supporter. Who gives a shit?
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was Bernie himself.
Yeah.
He did a terrible thing.
Sure.
And he was like, why? I don't understand why we, it's like the only fucking valuable life is a conservative straight white man's life, and anybody else, like even a white dude who may have not voted for the GOP candidate, like somehow his life is, you know what I mean, like it's, oh, but he's, of course he's going to do something nuts because he's this. He's not this. It's like the standard is this white, straight, affluent man with allegiance to the Republican Party or perhaps a moderate Democrat, and everybody else, it's like their behavior. I'm so done. It's like Jim Crow shit. It's like this weird white supremacy thing. And then if you deviate in the littlest bit, It's like it's all shot, and I cannot deal with that. And I think it's, here's the problem. The problem is the president of the United States ran a damn campaign that using this awful phrase, this terrible "Make America Great Again" that we have discussed many times, mm-hmm. but it's the word first. No, there, I was going to say it's the word again. It's not the word again. It's the whole thing. It's saying at least the way I interpret it, it's saying restore heteronormative white supremacy. Like, that is what is the message was to me, was that, like, white Protestant men who are straight and affluent, let's get them totally back on board with everything, and the rest of you are just some kind of little dirty problem here. You know what I mean? Like, all you who are not Christians, which is me, which, like, all of you who are not in this, if you're not a straight, white, conservative, affluent man, or a woman who stands proudly by one, then go fuck yourself. And that's the problem, is that's why we've kicked up all this crazy nonsense. And here's the other part. Ooh, I'm ranty today. He's got to understand, and he said this off a teleprompter before, not that I believe a fucking word he says, because he constantly contradicts himself. To be the president of the United States means that you are the president of everyone in the United States, not just that affluent group of straight white men with money.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, right? Like, he, exactly what you said, like, he tweeted from the POTUS account, but not his own, because he doesn't give a shit. He gives a shit about conservative, straight, affluent white men who are Christians, and everyone else, it doesn't matter to him. And on some level, the message he's sending by sending condemnations out on his personal account for other things, but not this, says on some level he didn't, in my mind, he said by those actions of his indicate that he, or at least hints at, he didn't value the lives of the two women who were being targeted. Otherwise, he would have said something. He would have said, like, we don't tolerate hate crimes and hateful speech in this country. Bye.
Right. I try to avoid getting into sort of hypothetical stuff, but...
That's what I'm for.
I will argue...
I'm all about the hypotheticals.
I will argue that had that been a Muslim man yelling at two white women on a train...
Exactly.
And two white men, one being a veteran, were murdered... You know, and when they tried to intervene, that he would have tweeted the living bejesus out of that.
He'd still be tweeting about it.
And Fox News would have dedicated round-the-clock coverage to this terror attack and or whatever, and radical Muslim, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's, and that's the problem. And you're right, because that does send, it's a strong message that's sent without actually saying anything. You know what I mean? It's the absence of... A statement that speaks volumes, and people of color, people who are different than the broader Trump demographic, know that and can hear that, and that comes through loud and clear. And you know,
No, I'm not even going to say broader Trump demographic, because he had a lot of female supporters. I'm going to say straight, affluent white men, because some women are happily surrendering their own bodily autonomy in support of male privilege right now.
Yeah, but some of them also just flat out. So, I mean, are you saying that they supported him because their husband did? Or are you saying that they... Because I think a lot of those women supported him because they wanted to. And
I'm saying they supported him.
Like, right.
What happened in households, I don't know.
So why are they not part of the broader Trump demographic? I mean, they're...
I'm saying bigger hierarchical thing here at work is about male supremacy over women.
Yes, right.
But not the, like I'm going to not flatten his base voter, and I'm just like pulling it out and showing that part of this awful super screwy hierarchy within white supremacy is about women supporting men, white men. I mean, I think the parts of gender roles and sexism is inherently built into that, and you can't fix one without addressing the other. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you on that. I think because were it not for the women who voted for him, we would not be where we are right now. But of course, you could say that about the men. I mean, you could say it about everybody.
But I just mean like the GOP. It's like it's a party of white guys.
It is.
And for a woman to be cool with that, that's a problem to me. And for a woman to be like, well, yeah, you're right. I don't think abortion's okay because, you know, there's all kind of silly narratives you hear about. Like, it's, I mean, the dumbest one that you always hear is like, well, people should just keep their legs closed instead of having, like, as if you just, like, have an abortion every 2 weeks or something. Like, right. Jesus Christ, do you even know what a vagina does or how it works? Yeah. Clearly not.
No.
So it's like, I feel like they're...
You mean a covfefe?
Oh, my God. I'm totally saying that. A covfefe. Someone should name a pet. Covfefe.
I'm sure somebody already has.
I'm sure there's already a cat.
There's like swag out there already. I mean, there's hats with it on it. I mean, it's just, it was instantaneous that people started marketing that. And
Jesus. That anyway.
But the, one of the things, yeah, I mean, I could put any, the thing that's, that I'm so sick of is this narrative of, well, you know, the rural white voters were backed into a corner because of the mean liberal elites and the mean media. And they were angry, and so this was their only choice, you know, because they've been forgotten and overlooked and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's just, it drives me nuts because this is a party that is constantly whining about, you know, the, like, dependency of, you know, people on welfare. Like, they basically mock, you know, the inner city and people who are dependent on...
Like the welfare queen.
Right,
sort of
right,
line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, and then they're basically saying, like, well, yeah, our poor white people who couldn't... And I'm like, you know what? You're... What the hell are you talking about? You're doing the same... You're doing the same thing. And don't spin... This was about white people and white men in particular losing their grip.
Yeah.
On... the, you know, their stranglehold on the various levers of power in this country,
real or imagined.
Yes,
even if
right.
you are of a lower socioeconomic class, like a white dude feeling or a white person feeling like their standing is threatened.
Right,
and
right.
that's my problem with this "Make America Great Again" line, because it's implying that heterosexual white people who are Christians, or at least not Jews or anything else, are the standard, and the rest of us are just a problem hanging out that needs to be dealt with.
And if you want to, I mean, the world is moving forward.
Yeah.
And there's no stopping that. And if you want clear evidence, I mean, it's been how many months of this administration? You know, 5 months
oh my
of this
God.
Administration. And look at what...
Puppy, we're not going to make it.
I know.
Oh, my
know,
God.
Definitely not. And the world is moving on without us. You look at after this European trip. I mean, you know, Britain, Germany, England, they're all like, you know what? Fuck
Merkel
you.
Merkel was like,
we're out of
boy,
here.
Bye.
You're on your own. And that's not good, man. That's a bad thing to see our allies basically saying, okay, well, we can't count on them anymore, so we're moving on. And that's because, you know, the world is moving on. You can have this nationalist viewpoint if you want, and... you're going to box yourself in. And so you can try to move our society backwards when it comes to LGBT rights, when it comes to women's rights or women's healthcare decisions, those sorts of things. You're seeing what's going to happen. And some people want that. They want that, but they have they don't understand what that's going to do to them. They think that they're going to slide backwards into a time where things were great and all the jobs are going to come back and they aren't going to have to do it. They aren't going to have to lift a damn finger in order to get back to a high-paying job. You're wrong. Your jobs aren't coming back. You're going to go broke if you don't get your ass up and start learning some new skills and getting into this new economy and on board with it. And thinking that some schmuck like Donald Trump, who's a wealthy con man, is going to bail you out or gives a damn about you, because he does not. That man does not care about anyone, much less working class, the forgotten man.
Right.
Is that, you know,
he doesn't care.
So.
No.
You know, that's what makes me so nuts, is because it's this unbelievable con job, and people bought into it because they're so desperate to have something to blame for their own problems. They're so desperate to have something to cling to because they don't want to have to work with this new world. They don't want to have to work with the way the new world is. They don't want to have to work. I don't mean that started to sound like New World Order, but I don't mean
a little
that.
Bit. I was like, what
no,
are
no,
you
no,
going
no,
with this?
No, 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 no. I mean the new world. They don't want
no,
to work
I know
with.
What you mean.
They don't want to have to work with gay people. I don't want to have to work with transgender people. I don't want to have to listen. I don't want to have to have a woman as my boss. I don't want to do this. I don't want. And you know, so the party that is always screaming about victimhood, they're screaming like crazy victims here, and that's what led to all of this. And it's really it will, if it doesn't hurt, it may not hurt the individuals who voted for him immediately, but it will hurt hurt and is hurting the country immediately, big time, and it will get to them.
Well, I mean, you used the word elitism a couple minutes ago, and I think, I mean, you said liberal elites, but I think any time to hitch your wagon to any person of great wealth and power because you feel downtrodden is just not, that's just kind of a fucked up proposition. It's just not ever going to work.
Yeah.
Has it ever, maybe for a minute, but not ever in the long term? Because by doing so, you're surrendering more power to that person and making them even more powerful, probably more wealthy. I mean, it's not, it's a losing battle. It's like, I mean, it's like a race to the bottom kind of awful mentality of, and it's not effective. It's not, it's only, you know, furthering and deepening the, you know, grooves here in the road for dividing class lines and power structures. And no, I don't. I mean, I think it's going to backfire terribly. Remains to be seen what happens when it does. But I still fear that we are, while I'm heartened that so many people are thinking and talking about this stuff more than I can ever remember, I still think there are worse things ahead. Not necessarily like some Handmaid's Tale shit, but some like, although maybe, sure, okay. At this point, I would believe anything, or, you know, like nothing would surprise me. You know what I mean? I just think people are digging in their heels because of what you were saying. Like, people, change is hard for people. Not many people enjoy it and embrace it. Not many people, I believe, are like naturally curious and open. I think, because I think it's sort of in our country culturally rewarded to be like tough and strong and set in your ways and proud and dumb shit like that, that makes people like not speak to each other and not say real things and just have dumb surface conversations. And I think that's a real problem, that, as you said, people don't want to change and evolve. And it's not that people have changed. It's that, you know, I heard somebody say, I don't remember who the host was, but it was like on a, you know, a Talking Heads kind of show. I don't remember who it was, but said something about like, well, there just weren't trans people X number of years ago. And I was like, well, that's just nonsense. I mean, it's like recognize that there's a difference between I hear about this now, I didn't hear about it before. Yeah. That doesn't mean that nobody was trans or gay or anything. That just means it was not safe to discuss until quite recently.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of examples of that, you know.
Seriously.
I mean, they used to, people with different disabilities would, like, just keep them inside all the time or lock them in the attic. And you know what I mean? Like
people would be, like, sent to a facility.
Right, yeah. And not without any, discerning of what type of disability. You know, I mean, autism numbers, I think, have actually increased, but they haven't increased so much. I mean, in other words, before they would just say, oh, he's just dumb, or, you know, there's something wrong
with
him. He ain't right, you know, whatever. Yeah. And that's just, and now we know. And so, you know, it's like when you, as you get more knowledge, you address
hopefully
things.
Hopefully, open your mind.
Yeah, your mind, right.
I think we've talked about this before, like the idea that when you, the older you get and the more knowledge you have, you suddenly begin to realize how little you know. If it's working, if you are successfully acquiring more knowledge, you start to realize it becomes this paradox, because then you realize how little you actually know.
Right.
I remember my freshman year of college sitting in a philosophy class going, oh my God, I know nothing. And as like a surly teen, you think you know everything.
Sure.
And then you know, I think that's where it happens for a lot of people. Like, you go to college and you're like, mind blown. I know so little. I am a speck of dust in this giant universe. And that shift happens, and suddenly that paradox starts.
Right.
And I think it only has gotten wider as I've gotten older. The older I get and the more I read and the more I'm like, I know nothing. I know nothing about anything.
Right. And very few people want to admit that. And that's, I mean, and it's also become sort of, you know, a badge of honor somehow to not be, that, you know, that the intelligence is becoming almost a looked on with disfavor by certain people for some reason. It's like, you know, you're a snoot and you're an elitist again or whatever if you are smart. And again, you know, and I think, I mean, to me, the thing that I've been coming back to a lot lately is the phrase, stay in your lane.
Right.
Because I mean, people need, if we could do more of that, that alone would help enormously right now. Because you kind of hear about, there was this recent, I forget where I read this or if it was somebody who said it specifically, but there, maybe it was one of the studies that, that has been done recently on the media and stuff like that, or on coverage of Trump. But, you know, there was something about how, like, you know, people don't like hearing from journalists who, a journalist who doesn't know how to change his own oil or her own oil or whatever. And I'm like, okay, A, that's just dumb and sounding and weird. Like, who cares? But, and,
but there's a Jiffy Lube right on my block. Yeah, right. Why would I do that myself?
Well, and that's the, okay, so there we go. So it's like, look, you know how to change your own oil. Great. You're a mechanic. Great. I'm not going to come to you and tell you if, you know, that I think this is how you should adjust the carburetor. And I don't expect you to come to me and say, hey, this is how I think you should cover this story.
Yeah, you do you. I'll do me.
Right.
We're all good.
Exactly. Yep. And that doesn't mean everybody's right. You know, that doesn't mean that the electrician that comes to my house is absolutely 100% right, or that I don't ask another electrician to come to give me a second opinion or a second quote. But it does mean that I don't start pulling the wiring out of my home, because I'm going to kill myself if I do that. So, so, you know, if we could be more comfortable with that. And same with, I mean, look. I mean, one of Trump's biggest problems is that he's not either not, well, he's definitely not surrounding himself with the smartest of people, but he's also not listening to the people around him who do. I mean, I think Ryan Priebus is kind of a knucklehead, but, you know, he certainly knows more about, you know, how to work politics.
Like, that name. I cannot with that name.
Ryan Priebus.
I want him to have like a little white sweater over his shoulders and like a pop collar golf shirt.
I'm sure he does at times. Yeah. There's,
like, how do you land with a name like that?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. But he...
anyway, but I derailed you.
That's okay. I don't remember. Well, he doesn't stay in his lane.
No.
He knows, like, he sure as hell knows, like, marketing himself or making an ass of himself or whatever, being controversial, all those kind of things, you can argue, sure, he's good at. And he did something, I mean, he got himself elected president, so that, he managed something right, whether it was awful or not, but he's not listening to foreign policy experts who are like, no, we should probably stay friends with Germany. They're, you know, like this sort of stuff. And so I think that's just a much broader lesson right now. It's like, I don't think I'm better than a rural Trump voter. And I'm not going to go to a rural Trump voter's place of work and be like, you know what? You're a fake farmer. that's fake corn you're growing there. But don't talk.
Fake corn.
But don't immediately discount me
right.
because I'm, you know, a media member
right.
as being a lying, fake news, anti-American piece of crap. I mean, it's frustrating.
I keep saying I'm going to die on this hill, and indeed I might, but I keep like replying to tweets and like as sweetly as I can, I say, because if I'm not sweet, it's only going to confirm them, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so it's only going to confirm their bias, but I a lot of tweets, even from people that I think are, you know, pretty with it politically, that I, you know, somewhat agree with, or at least I like, they're not raging Republicans, right? I'll see like, oh, note to the media, please stop doing XYZ, and I, you know, or all media did this, and I just, you know, often I'll go like, hey, not all of us did that. Well, not you, but I mean, like, you know, well, who do you mean? Who do you mean?
Right, yeah.
And if I press them, sometimes it'll come down to, well, you know, this one dude on Fox said that. I was like, okay, well, say that. Because
right.
you just made the job of the rest of us much harder. Also, that guy is not a journalist. That guy is a game show host. So there's that.
Chuck Woolery?
Yes. Oh, man, that guy is like all up in the politics lately.
I actually read the words, Chuck Woolery is a true patriot, the other day on Twitter. If I had a gun, I would have shot my phone. I was about to say, I just shot my phone. I'm like,
oh my God, that sounds really satisfying.
Who am I kidding?
It's like throw your phone on the ground, just shoot it.
Yeah,
that would be satisfying. That would have been me yesterday. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I saw Chuck Woolery tweet something. Like, I didn't see his tweet, but someone retweeted it and it got into my feed. Because let's be clear, I do not follow Chuck Woolery on Twitter. But his tweet was something, it was during the... it was when the sexual harassment allegations kind of first bubbled up from Fox. He said something like, in the whatever, the 80s, I was sexually harassed at work many times, and I liked it. Like, you know.
Am I right, ladies?
Right. But, like, you're also a celebrity, and you have money, and you have power, and you were, like, the face of this dumb show. What was that show called? The Dating Game?
Maybe. Yeah. I said, that's funny. I can't remember what show he was on.
Love Connection.
Screw you, Chuck Woolery. I don't know what
was this damn show? I don't want to Google it.
I'm not going to Google it. I won't even give him the you know,
right,
the honor of Googling whatever.
I think
dumb
it was The Dating Game. Because you remember that, right? Like, they would send you out, like, was it? I don't remember how it went. I just remember that it was like SNL, American Gladiators, and then that show.
Yeah.
And that was like the thing to do on Saturday night when you're Amy Guth.
Right. Nice. And a lot of other people too.
Right. Anyway, but I'm like, there's another, stay in your lane a little bit. Like, don't assume that you know what it's like to be a woman working anywhere, because it's different. That's a completely false equivalency. And when that happens, that drives me totally crazy, because it's like, well, you know, when I was sexually harassed, I kind of liked it. No, dude. You had money, power, and were the face of a show.
Sure.
You have celebrity. It's not the same as, like, someone working behind the scenes at Fox News and like, some powerful person, a dude who was the face of the show, wielded more power over someone and made them uncomfortable in the workplace. That's not the damn same.
Yeah. If you can brag about being sexually harassed, you have not been sexually harassed. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's just that's coming from such a position of sort of male power and whatever.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people, there's even people at this station who think that feminism is stupid and have said so on the air, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I respect all my coworkers. Whether they respect me back, that's their business.
I'm sorry, I said feminism was stupid. It was me.
I solved it as passively aggressively as possible right here on the show. But, like, look, the truth is, I was recently called a man-hater, and that's absolutely not true. What I hate is, and even hate is a strong word, what I would like to change is supremacy of any group, thinking they are superior to another. That's my problem. It's power imbalance. It's not dudes. It's just that's who has this, like, it's like if you are in a position of power, fucking recognize it.
Well,
and don't be an asshole and don't abuse that.
Yeah. It's neediness is what it really is. Because, I'm a guy and breaking news. And I don't feel like I need to be in... You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's neediness as much as, like, insecurity.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, kind of. Yeah. Okay. I don't get it. I've never gotten that.
Right.
I mean, I've worked for most of my, I think, let me think about that. I think a majority of my editors over the years have been women. So I've, you know, and there's never been a time when it's even crossed my mind to be like, oh, what does she know? Or, you know, right. I'd like to feel somehow insecure about that. And I just don't understand. There is something eating anyone who feels, you know, that they need to be sort of the alpha in a situation.
Yeah.
There's something wrong there. I mean, you lack the self-confidence to just be okay with yourself.
I mean, look, it's this simple. If the idea of equally distributing power between men and women is threatening to you, something's the matter with you.
Right, yeah.
Then you believe that your gender is superior to the other.
Yes,
period.
Exactly.
That's really it.
Right.
And if you want to dismiss the things that I say because I'm a dumb feminist, like, okay, that's fine. You know, that's, you're free to think that, but, you know, I really hope a woman that you care about is never, ever threatened or oppressed or needs health care or any of that shit because you're contributing to her not having access to it.
Sure.
Good for you.
Well, and it doesn't mean like you're deferential either. I mean, you know, I think that...
Well, that's the thing. I think people fucked it up because they think it means female supremacy.
Right. It doesn't. No, I mean, I've worked for women that I haven't liked, you know, or haven't worked, you know, haven't gotten along with. But it was never... You know, she's an awful boss because she's a woman. You know what I mean?
No, it's because she's a psycho micromanager.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, when I was an engineer, I worked for a woman who was it was awful.
We only have 6 listeners. Way to go.
Yes.
But hey, speaking of sexual harassment, I have a fine story from on my way here. So what do you call, there's got to be a name for this. What do you call that, like, there's a noise that men make at women that's like the sound of like sucking air? Like if a woman walks by, it's like a, like that noise. What is that called?
I don't know. I've never made that noise.
Because you're not a fucking douche is why.
But so, I don't even know what that means.
It's a thing. This really? Happens all the time. Constantly.
I mean, I made it like very, if I'm like super nervous and, you know, when I was younger.
No, no like to a woman you do not know.
I'd be like,
oh, no, oh my God, a girl's talking to me. What do I do? A girl's talking to me. What do I do? She's a real human woman. She's not my mom. What do I do? Exactly. That was my boyhood hubky.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, that's a girl. What do I do? She looked at me. No, that's the thing. Like you walk by and a dude and you get catcalled or, you know, sometimes it's on the lighter end, like a hey mama or something like that.
Yowza.
Yeah, something like
maybe
that.
Not, maybe
or
not.
A damn. Sometimes it's a little more aggressive. Sometimes it's real disgusting. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a dude, I walked by today. I was walking to the bus and a dude made that like, damn noise at me. And I just kept walking. I was like, I'm not going to even look at him or acknowledge that he even exists. And that pisses people off so much when you don't even acknowledge, like, don't even look at them. Mm. Don't even acknowledge them. So that is what I did. And then he chased after me. Not ran. Chased is not really the word. But he caught up to me. And he said, hey, I'm talking to you, stuck up bitch. Take a compliment, fucking hoe.
Oh,
isn't
wow.
that sweet?
Jesus.
Now, first of all, you weren't talking to me. You were
inhaling,
sucking air in my direction.
Right.
Second of all, what did he expect? What was the best case scenario in his head?
Yeah. Yeah.
That like, well, children, the way I met your grandfather is that he was drunk on a stoop and I was walking to the bus and he sucked air and said, damn. And I knew right there he was the love of my life. Get bent.
Yeah.
Like, what did you expect to happen right then? Did he really think that I was going to be like, you know what? These clothes are in the way. Let's do this right now. Like, what the hell is your plan?
How old was this dude? Was he younger or older?
I'm going to say he was 40-ish, so therefore
oh, really?
He's in the prime of his life.
Okay, I was thinking maybe the brain wasn't fully myelinated, but yeah, that's not the excuse.
No. Grown-ass man.
Wow. Yeah, I don't... the thing that always amazes me about that, and this is setting aside the... you know, offensiveness and awfulness of it all, but is like who in Gaidam ever indicated that that kind of move has ever in the history
ever.
Of the planet ever worked,
ever
done anything?
If it has,
it hasn't even done anything.
Talk to me. I want to know.
There's never even been a movie where somebody's like, "Ow, damn," and then, you know, winds up getting the girl. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. It's not even a fictional thing that exists. So, yeah, I always find that. And so that behavior is just, it's either, you know, men who have just a generally disrespectful view of women, or it's a men who are horribly insecure and have to feel like they're exerting some kind of dominance over women.
Yeah.
Either way, it's bullshit, but...
And that he came after me to say,
yeah,
like,
that
I was supposed to be grateful. Like, oh, thank God, the drunk guy on the stoop thinks I'm pretty enough to yell damn at me.
Yeah.
I feel so validated.
Right.
No. No, 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 no.
And how come I never get... No, women never do that to me, man.
Just so you can tweet like Chuck Woolery.
Yeah, right.
I got catcalled and it was all them.
Damn.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
But yeah, it's... that's one of those things that I can never... I will never be able to explain that. I don't even know how you eradicate. I mean, that's something that's happened for so long.
Right.
And I would hope maybe it's gotten better than it used to be because...
No, I think it's actually much worse.
Really? Yeah, maybe so. I don't know.
I tweeted the other day because a guy said something really disgusting to me as he drove by me and I was walking down the street and he shouted something really gross that, I don't know how it would benefit him. It was more in my interest than his, but I don't know why he offered that up in particular because he doesn't know me.
Mm.
But nonetheless, I tweeted that. And a bunch of women replied to me. They were like, oh, happy summer.
Yeah.
That's true. The minute the parkas come off, dudes yell crazy shit. It's a thing.
Maybe I should start doing that. I don't know.
No. Am I
out of step?
Expressly forbid you from doing that.
Hupke pauses and thinks, am I out of step with my fellow man?
Is your masculinity threatened right now because you're not a cat caller?
Yes.
I'm calling your wife. She's going to set you on fire the minute you go
exactly.
home.
She will.
She's on my side on this one, I guarantee you.
Swiftly incinerated. And swiftly and justifiably.
Right. What happened to Hupke? Let's not talk about him. Don't ask questions.
Let's just say it's over.
Yeah. So in summation, like I don't know who thinks that's a good idea, but it's like, as long as there is an imbalance between men and women, I'm not saying we all got to act the same, mm-hmm. but as long as one group has power over the other, generally, socially, entitlement like that, where people think they can comment on one another's bodies and chase after women on the street, like, no, that's a non-starter for me. So yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't want that eradicated. So I don't understand why you would criticize somebody in particular. It was that feminists are complainers. It's like I don't just sit around picking off things of like, oh, a man did it. Let me complain about it. Men do awesome stuff. I know awesome men. My dad's awesome. My brother's awesome. Like plenty of awesome dudes, right? I know lots of awesome men. I didn't have, you know, and it's not like I have some kind of like insane, you know, even if I did have daddy issues, which I don't, it doesn't matter why. The point is like if a human being finds something problematic and gets chased down the street or threatened or whatever, or escalate that to the millionth power, whatever that is, as long as one group feels that they can do that and get away with it, and as long as other men let them do that and mm-hmm. get away with it, it's yeah. a problem. And I don't know why you wouldn't want that equalized.
Well, and you got the, I mean, that's the, I think you just nailed it right there, is it has to become socially taboo.
Mm-hmm.
It has to become to the point where guys aren't like, oh man, did you see what he did? Or, you know, people aren't like, you know, thinking somehow that's funny, that's cool. Or even if it's like that sort of passive, like, oh, dude, come on, don't do that. But, you know, that, right. No, it needs to be like, dude, what are you doing?
Why would
what
you
an,
do that?
You're yeah. being an asshole. Like, stop well, it. And until that happens, that's the only point. And at that point, it will hopefully change. But, you know, right now, where we are socially in society right now, because of all the things that are going on, we are very much moving backwards on that front. I mean,
well, we elected someone yeah. into office, or I should rephrase that. A person is in office who openly talked about grabbing women without their consent.
Yeah, exactly.
Who openly talked about it. And when confronted, it's like it's locker room talk.
Yeah, right. And that alone, I mean, honestly, that alone set us back enormously. I mean, that
yes.
that part, that one part of him caused massive damage in terms of
truly.
How it normalized and made okay that sort of
boys will be
behavior.
Boys
right.
kind of no
yeah, yeah.
look but it's one thing to like talk about sexual activity or talk about someone attractive, like women do that too, newsflash to men, women do that all the time. And like if you're, you know, if you're like friends with somebody and you're, it's not weird to tell them about like, oh, you know, I'm seeing this person and this is what occurred the other night or whatever. Like, that's not necessarily totally out of bounds, but it's when it's like, it's about consent. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to be like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, seeing someone who's real hot and this is what happened, versus there was a woman, I couldn't help myself and I grabbed her genitals. Like, that's a whole other. It's a matter of consent, and the fact that lack of consent was there and it was dismissed as, well, that's just how men are, is bullshit, because that is not how men are. That is how sexual predators are.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean I am still, there's so much I'm still amazed at in terms of this, of him being elected president, but that he was able to overcome that really with barely missing a beat. I mean, is staggering to me. I mean, absolutely
yeah.
staggering that all of these, you know, conservative Christians were able to look that aside, and so-called conservative Christians, I should say, because I don't think anybody who can be okay with that is
I don't remember
yeah,
hearing
I don't remember
about
that.
Jesus being a crotch grabber.
Nope.
Just throwing it out there.
Or yeah, so.
I mean, I'm a little more Old Testament than new, but yeah, no.
So yeah, I think that, that caused so much damage, and we're just,
yeah,
you know.
It did.
So much of this, things that we should be getting closer to making taboo are we've slid backwards, you know, whether it's sexism, whether it's, you know, relating to Islamophobia or racism or you name it.
Totally.
All of these things, they have become more acceptable, at least in people's minds. I don't actually think they're that much more acceptable. Certainly not like in the corporate world or, you know, I think that, but at least in sort of day to day stuff and in the minds of people, they are less likely to be like, oh, I better not say that. Even if they have the compulsion to say that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
The noise you just made. That's exactly.
Party noise.
That's how I feel about it all today. Yeah. That's how I feel. Well, we've run out of time. There's many more things I would still like to discuss, but we will save them for next week. So
Coffee-fee.
Subscribe on iTunes, follow us on social media, and Coffee-fee.